Accession number 13122, Mr. Ron Dinnan, Reel 1.
Mr. Ronald Dinnan, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Dinnan?
Yes, I was born in South Shields on the 2nd of October, 1910.
And what did your father do for a living?
My father had a very good men's shop in South Shields and had it for many years. And eventually he was compelled change from the shop and went into management in North Shields.
What type of management?
He was the manager of a shop called Howard Stores. The reason being that the partners who owned the store had been called to the war, and so he took over as manager.
That was right at the start of the Second World War then?
Yes.
Now,
as far as I know, it would be about late 1913.
So it was the First World War when he...
Yes, First World War.
Now, what about... Could you tell us a bit about your childhood? How many were there in the family, for a start?
I had two brothers and two sisters. Unfortunately... my brother Robert died in 1919 due to the flu epidemic, and my other brother died at 17 years of age. My sister Edna, who went out to India and was in Lord Mountbatten's headquarters staff, and returned to UK at the end of the war. My other sister, Mabel, became a Queen Alexandra's nursing sister and was on one of the hospital ships. In fact, took part in the first hospital ship to carry the Canadian wounded from North Africa back to Canada.
What about your childhood? Was it a comfortable, happy childhood, would you say?
Oh yes, I was quite happy as a child. We had good neighbours and we had jolly times together.
What about your school? Which school did you go to?
I started off in a private school actually, at Westow, and then when I was, I think, four and a half, I can't quite remember exactly, I went to Westow Infant School. And from there, went to the high school, where I left at the age of 15.
Had you got any qualifications at all?
No, I'm afraid not.
No. Now, while you were at school, the First World War had been on. What memories do you have of that? Did it affect you at all?
Oh, it affected my education, because we were then put on a system of going to school for only half a day. And I think that was on for the vast part of the war.
Why was that?
Because the schools in the town, I think about 50% of them, had been taken over to house soldiers, where they were made their living quarters.
How else did the war affect you?
Didn't seem to affect me greatly.
You were between sort of four-ish and eight-ish, nine-ish. Were you aware of what was going on?
Oh, yes. I recall seeing the first Zeppelin came sailing over the coastline between South Shields and Sunderland, and I actually got a good view of it, being only about a mile away.
What could you see?
I saw this huge sausage in the sky. As a child, of course, I didn't realize what it was until my mother told me, and it was quite a sight.
Was there any bombing from it?
Apparently, it dropped some bombs in the marketplace in South Shields. But I was too young, I didn't know what damage was done.
Did the war affect the sort of games you played at school?
Well, there was certainly no game. The only games we had were played in the streets, because we couldn't go into the schoolyard because they were taken over. So we just had to make do with games around the doors or in the houses.
Did the war affect them, though? I mean, did you sort of take on Germans and British or war games or anything?
I'm afraid I can't remember exactly what type of games we were. Football and cricket and that sort of thing.
What about, so when you left school, what did your father and you plan to do? What career were you going to go into?
Well, my father wanted me to follow on in the same business as he had been in, that was in outfitting. So my first job actually was with a firm called Fowler and Brock in South Shields, who had a store there. And it was eventually taken over by Binns of Sunderland. I stayed there for the remainder of my apprenticeship.
Apprenticing as what? As an outfitter?
As a draper, really.
What did that involve at the time?
Well, I used to spend a certain length of time with each department, say 6 months in the carpentry department, 6 months in the drapery department, another 6 months in the linen shop, right through, so that you got a good insight into all the different types of goods.
Did you enjoy the work?
Oh, yes. Yes, I got on very well. I quite enjoyed it.
And how long was your apprenticeship?
Well, in those days it was 5 years.
So that would be till about 1930?
Yes.
And what happened then?
I was very fortunate in that one of the apprentices to whom I was very friendly with, his father had a shop in Sunderland, and they were looking for a buyer for their store in Sunderland. And I got the job, and I was with them for, I think, 2 years.
What type of, another department store or a drapery?
Yes, it's a small store, but it had all departments. And I was on the menswear department.
And what was your job as a buyer then? How did you go?
Well, I used to buy things like shirts and ties and underwear. Anything to do with menswear.
Did that involve a lot of travelling, or did the reps come to you?
No, there was no travelling involved. It was a question of seeing different representatives and placing orders with them.
And you stayed with them until the outbreak of war?
No, I was only there, I think, for 2 years when I was offered a job as manager of a gentleman's outfitting shop in Newcastle to take over the management, which I did.
Do you remember the name?
Yes, it was Kerr, the name of the shop. And unfortunately, my father took ill, and at that time, and he was managing a shop, a tailor and outfitter shop in South Shields. And he became so ill that that a replacement had to be found. So I took it upon myself to offer my services, and I became manager of this type of business.
That was
from 1936 until 1939, when it was apparent that a war was about to take place.
Now, I want to go back in time now, really, because that's your working life, but you had another side, because you were also joined this cadet battalion.
Yes.
Could you explain how that had come about, and then perhaps, because it's an unusual battalion, fill in a bit of the background to what the battalion was.
Mm-hmm. I heard from my actual brother-in-law that they were looking for cadets to join the 1st Cadet Battalion, the Durham Light Infantry, who used to meet at a hall which later became called Londonderry Hall. The reason for this was that we used to organise military tattoos, and the profits made were to go towards building a really first-class drill hall. We started in 1931.
Now, hang on a minute. So you joined... How did you go about joining the battalion in the first place? Your brother...
My brother-in-law actually took me along to the drill hall, and I was questioned.
What sort of questions, roughly?
Just about what school I'd been to and my age, and whether I liked the idea of being an army cadet, because it was very unusual in those days, as it was the only cadet battalion in the whole of the UK. And I seemed to fit in all right.
What made you want to join?
I think basically my main reason was that I had heard that these cadets were planning to go on a pilgrimage to Belgium to see the battlefields of the First World War. And that interested me.
Now, you joined in, do you remember the month and year? Or the year, anyway?
As far as I recall, it was about May or June 1929.
And when was this pilgrimage to be made? Same year?
I think the pilgrimage was in the August of 1929.
Right, I'll come to that. So, you joined. Were you given a uniform?
Yes, we had uniforms in those days. I think mostly remnants from previous wars. And later, we got a more up-to-date version of uniform.
And what did you do before you went on the... What did being a cadet entail?
Oh, we had almost every week was drill. We were taught foot drill, rifle drill, and how to march. In fours it was in those days, and do various formations.
So most of it, one sort of another, was what you could lump it all together as drill.
Yes.
And
normal infantry drill.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh yes. I seemed to take to it and liked every minute of it.
Did they actually do any weapons training of any kind?
No, only rifle drill. They were the only weapons in the possession of the unit.
Did you actually learn to shoot, or was it just learning handling it?
No, we were taken to Whitburn, where there is an army rifle range. And we also had a short rifle range built alongside the drill hall, which was very useful, where we did .22 shooting.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Were you a good shot?
Yes.
What do you think made you a good shot?
I think not only do you need good eyesight, but I think you have to also have confidence to make a good shot. And I felt that I really enjoyed it.
You were a good shot with the point two. When you tried the Lee Enfield, did you have trouble with the kick at first as a young lad?
Well, we had Ross rifles to start with.
What were they like? Very Canadian
old,
ones.
Very old fashioned. Left over from the earlier wars, I think.
What were they like, the Ross?
Very heavy for us when you were young, somehow. They were rather on the large side than the long side. But you managed after a while. You got used to them.
Any other training you did with them?
We did a little bit of camp drill, because in those days we didn't have the assistance of any regular unit. Everything had to be done by our own efforts. So one had to learn how to pitch a bell tent and help to put up a marquee and that sort of thing.
Did you actually go camping then?
Yes. We did a series of weekend camps, and I recall coming down to Clean Village, where I now live, and we had a weekend camp, which is now the tennis courts.
What would you do on the camp? I mean, what sort of activities would they take?
Well, the activities were very minimal, really, because of the smallness of the area. And we did a little bit of night patrolling, just to get into the way of things.
How realistic was it, do you think?
Well, it was realistic in as much as we learned how to move about in the dark. I think that was probably the main point.
What about actual tactical exercises, how to advance and defend a position? Did you do any of that on camp?
No, unfortunately. It was very, very minimal.
So it sounds like it was more camping than military, yes, in some senses.
It's virtually no different to perhaps the Boy Scouts camping.
Were you in the Boy Scouts or the Boys Brigade as well?
No, I never became a Boy Scout.
I should have asked, about how many boys were in the Cadet Battalion?
Oh, in my company then, was about 60 strong.
And which company was that?
That was D Company. In those days known as the Middle Dock Company.
And what sort of boys were in it? The same sort? Was it there?
They were mostly boys from my school and other schools.
Were they from all middle class? Were they working class lads from the dock? The poorer?
Well, working class, I would say. Yes, definitely. We had strong links with the Middle Docks and other industries surrounding the Middle Docks. Electricians, engineers, that sort of thing.
And what about the NCOs? Would they be picked from the boys?
Yes. Oh, yes. They were selected according to their ability.
Because you were a Lance Corporal, I think, but by the time you went to Ypres, judging by the photographs.
Yes.
So you were promoted.
I was promoted very quickly.
Why was that, do you think?
I think probably because I showed interest in the work that was going on. I really enjoyed soldiering, and it was a natural to me.
Who were the officers when you joined? Was there any particular characters who have left an impression on you?
Well, as far as I can recall, the majority of the officers were men who had served in the 1418 war. I knew a little bit about the infantry training.
Now, the next thing would be, let's have a look at the trip you went on. What do you remember of the trip to Ypres? Because that's quite a... The whole battalion...
I think, if I remember rightly, we took about 250 cadets and we sailed from Hull to Zeebrugge, which I remember quite well, because it, mainly because it was a pretty rough crossing. But once we got settled in, we were taken up to Ypres in coaches and camped in a field very close to the railway station.
What did you do while you were there?
Well, our most days we were there, we were taken to see the battlefields, the famous Hill 60, Hill 62, and the trenches, etc., around the town of Ypres.
What state was the battlefield in at this? I mean, that was about 10 years after the war had finished.
Well, you could still picture the battles that were going on at that time. Although the trenches were partly filled in some places with water, but you could definitely see the outline of the battle. Bits of barbed wire still there, and I understand they were still gathering shrapnel and shells in the farmers' fields.
Had the shell holes been smoothed out by then?
Yes. The shrapnel and things that were lying about were mostly just fragments and weren't dangerous at all.
I mean, the shell holes.
The shell holes were numerous.
They were still there.
There. They're very deep.
Had it all grassed over by then?
No. There was, the farmers were tending their fields, but there were vast areas where they'd just been left untouched with mounds of metal and shrapnel, usually in the corner of a field.
Did it have an impact on you, the sight of all that? I
mean, it was very awesome, and because one could almost picture the fighting that had gone on.
Did it put you off at all? And with the cemetery?
Apparently not. I just accepted it.
Did you visit the cemeteries as well?
Yes, we visited. I can't remember the names of them now. I think one was the Tynecott Cemetery. There were numerous cemeteries, but we tried to visit the ones that affected the Durham Light Infantry.
Was it an emotional thing to do, to visit that sort of cemetery?
Or very emotional. And we were privileged to, our band took part in the daily ceremony and at the Menin Gate, which was quite an honour. And at a very moving ceremony.
How did you get on with the Belgians? Did they make a fuss of you?
Yes, I suppose they did, from what I remember. They were very friendly, and we had no trouble at all. It was a very enjoyable period of time when we were there.
Did any of the officers tell you about what it was like?
Oh, yes. Our platoon officers... and company officers would outline the battles that went on. It was almost like a miniature history lesson to us.
Anything else you did while you were out there?
No, we hadn't time really. Our time was mapped out following a set program, and we had very little time to ourselves except in the evening. Most evenings we had to ourselves.
What would you do in the evening?
Most of us just went round the local town and visited local cafes and restaurants.
Now, how did your career in the cadets develop? Because you were quite old when you joined.
Yes.
Or relatively old.
I was
About 19.
19 when I joined.
What was the age limit on the cadets?
Well, there's, as there was, the vast majority were still at school, there were normally 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age.
So you were much older than
I was slightly older. I think that's why I was promoted.
When would they put you out of the cadets, or was there an upper age limit?
If you hadn't achieved promotion, I think the normal, you were expected to leave at about 18 or 19. But I can't recall anyone ever being told to leave.
So how did your promotion go over the years before the war?
I was promoted to second lieutenant in 1933.
Not long.
Not long at all. And in fact, I think it was my enthusiasm that probably prompted it.
Now, were you much involved in this campaign to build a new drill hall?
Oh, yes.
You started off telling us, but tell me about that.
When the annual military tattoo took place, all the officers were allotted different tasks. You were either behind the scenes or up front attending to the general public, coming in, showing them to their seats, or taking tickets and introducing visitors, and generally lending a hand to see that everything was in order.
What were you doing?
Oh, I've had various duties. One year I would be on the behind the scenes, helping assemble the different acts and getting the troops ready according to the program and according to the stage manager. And other times I'd be on a duty in the stands, attending to the public.
How many of these tattoos were there a year? Did you do more than one?
Only one a year.
It was
an annual event.
And that was your big fundraiser?
That was the biggest fundraiser of all. To get our aim, which was to have a very modern drill hall.
Now, your old drill hall, that was, what was that? Where was that?
It was an old army hut. The first drill hall we had.
On which road?
On the same site as it is today.
So that's what became Londonderry
Hall? That became Londonderry Hall.
I mean, it must have taken a fair amount of money to build that. Because it is quite
It's quite a building. I don't know the exact cost.
And as an officer with the cadets, What was your exact role then in everything?
Well, as a lieutenant, you had to personally drill the cadets. You had to know how to do foot drill and rifle drill. And you spent your evening teaching your cadets through these different systems, either on drill or foot drill, rifle drill, and those sort of things.
Did you get to know the boys personally?
Oh, yes, we knew each other personally, and most of my company were attending at the secondary school, so everybody knew everybody else, more or less.
You were still in D Company when you were an officer, were you, or did you change?
No, when I became a company commander, I took over A Company and had a very, very successful company. I think the largest in the battalion.